Welcome, everyone, to Total Nonstop Impact, Impact Talk for Impact Fans, featured right here on the TNI Network. This is Trent Law, my co-host, J-Bone, and the truck himself. And this is Time Machine Tuesday, NWA TNA number 86. Gentlemen, good evening. How are you? What's new?
Good evening.
We are here.
We are here.
We are here.
86 episodes of Throwback J-Bone. I know I say it every week, but I remember little old episode number one. It was, you know, we've come a long way, Jay. I've known you for going on 2 years here.
It is. Pretty it's awesome. Been a while.
Pretty awesome.
Was it just the two of you to start?
It was. And then we did the first, 25, Jay, together?
I believe so.
Yeah, one to 20, maybe 20, 22 is when but Bill joined first, right? So I think I gotta look back at those archives, though, huh?
The show's really evolved, hasn't it?
It really has.
I mean, we started these.
We started these.
This was the first original stuff we threw on this channel.
Correct. Yep.
And then we moved the entire thing over here.
Right. We were doing this as a way to, because Kyle had started this channel.
Right.
And then we had a couple little disjointed things, typical Kyle. And then we're like, well, we got to keep this channel alive. So we would do this. And then we moved the whole thing over once we left the lounge. But good evening to everybody who's joining us tonight. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us for Time Machine Tuesday. Hopefully you watched the episode on Discord. Chuck, how was the watch along tonight? You're on mute. You are absolutely
on mute. You think that 18 months into a pandemic, I would know how to do a Zoom meeting by now. But it was good. First, Evenite was there for the whole thing. Hopefully, he's going to be in the chat because he's got some stories that I'm sure you're going to want to hear.
I can't wait to hear
his friendship with Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, man. I can't wait to hear. Evenite, I hope he's here. I'm looking forward to hopefully him popping in here. I got to say, though, we had Chris Harris on the show about a year ago, and he talked about this whole thing. And if you haven't heard it, it's worth listening to him tell the story behind the whole thing. But
I'm going to have to go back and watch it now, because after watching this main event, I want an explanation.
Russo even talked about it when we had Russo.
Russo even
talked about this. So
I got to dig that one up too then.
Absolutely do, because this is a point of contention. I'm telling you, this is like the Raven thing bothered us, but this one bothers us a lot more because of how it was so set up to be done, but we'll talk about, I mean, we heard from the, you know, right from the Wildcat's mouth. I mean, it was supposed to happen. His family was in the audience. I mean, this was supposed to be the guy's moment, and it is absolutely absurd that it didn't, but we'll get to it in a second.
Folks, I can tell you, we've done a lot of interviews over the last couple of years with, you know, current Impact stars and some past NWA TNA guys and gals, but Chris Harris's interview is legit one of our, at least personally, one of my favorite interviews that I've been a part of.
I love the guy, man.
I feel like he, and this isn't just me like patting ourselves on the back, I feel like he really had fun, because I've heard other interviews where he legit got upset during the interviews, and because they were just asking him stupid shit, like trying to stir stuff up. And we were just having fun with him, kept him real relaxed, and he stuck around for I don't know how long, but it was a great interview.
It was over an hour. It was nuts. And his wife messaged us to tell us he said it's his favorite interview he's ever done. At least up until that point. So she said he absolutely had a great time. So I'm very happy. I'm proud of that. I was such a mark on that interview too. I was like, look, I got this DVD. I ordered England, and then they repressed it. And I feel like a mark. Listen, I mean, I'm such a Chris Harris fan. But now I want to point this out. Storm and Harris, AMW, along with Gail Kim, who did manage them when they got to Orlando, is appearing at WrestleCade this November for a meet and greet and autograph signing. So I guess I will see you all in South Carolina for WrestleCade at some point, sometime this year, November. I don't know the exact date. I think it's Thanksgiving weekend, I want to say. But
ooh,
I would love to get a picture of the two of them. That would be really cool. We'll see what happens. But apparently WrestleCade's gearing up to be really, really fun this year. So if you're in the area, check it out.
Nice.
Condolences to Norm MacDonald and the family, the SNL family. That was totally out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, like
61?
Yeah.
61. Cancer for 9 years. He hit it from everybody, he said. Nobody knew.
Yeah, that's what the one thing I heard today and seeing little posts here and there is that he was quietly hiding it for many years.
Was he married? Did he have kids? Did he, I didn't hear anything like his family make a statement or anything. A lot of tributes from the cast. Didn't see anything from any family or anything. I always wondered if he was had kids or a wife or anything. I don't know, but very, very sad. I love Norm MacDonald. He was my favorite, one of my favorite Weekend Update guys, SNL. That his class of SNL was like my favorite period of SNL. So like
early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say 90s. Yeah. That was good stuff.
It was like
he tells a moth joke on Conan, which is just one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
It's great. The moth joke is fantastic.
The moth joke. Vanessa hated it when I shared it. Well, Mrs. Truck hated it when I shared it with her, but that just killed me. I love that kind of humor.
Absolutely. If you guys haven't heard the moth joke, you need to go read the moth joke, find it, whatever. It's even great read.
Listen to it. Don't read it. Listen to it. Because his delivery is the whole thing. God, it was beautiful.
You know, Truck, I'm looking here. He was a fellow Canuck.
Yes, he was.
He was from Quebec. I didn't know that. A lot of funny people up there. A lot of comedians come out of Canada.
And they all move south to make a living.
They do, which is sad. Why not stay up there? Some do. They cut their teeth.
You don't have as many options. The media landscape just isn't as diverse.
Yeah. What was that show Fridays you guys used to have back in the 80s? I don't know if you watched
Royal
it.
Canadian Air Force.
Was it? I thought it was called Fridays. No, I'm thinking it was called Fridays. It was a skit show. Hang on, let me see.
There have been a lot. Yeah, there are a lot of really good ones by Canadian comics.
Fridays, here it was ABC. It was I loved it, man. It was a Canadian show. It was a ABC's attempt to go against SNL, but I thought it was based in Canada. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's a really good Canadian one. I think they just finished. I think they just did the last season called Baroness von Sketch.
Okay.
If you like sketch comedy, check out Baroness von Sketch. It's an all-female cast. It's an absolute fucking riot.
Really?
Yeah.
Where can we find it?
You could probably find them all on YouTube because it's a CBC show, so they're all going to be publicly available. So yeah, Baroness von Sketch, SCTV. Yeah.
Yeah.
SCTV. Bill, what are you doing? Go to bed. You're supposed to be here. I'm here because you're supposed to be sleeping.
No, Bill and Mark, both of these two are in the chat. Both told us they couldn't make it tonight due to other commitments. They're like, Bill's beat. Like the weekend call for the first time, the Road Warrior himself, Bill, the unofficial third Road Warrior, caught up with him. He was like, I gotta tap. I gotta rest. For once, I gotta sleep.
He's tapping out.
But Mark, on the other hand, has back to school has screwed Mark's personal life up completely. Totally screwed everything about his life up. So, but he doesn't mind. He's a good father. Hot wife, good kids. That's what he's got. He's got a great life.
Hashtag Mark's hot wife.
Mark's hot wife. Hot hashtag. All right. Well, let's hope everybody's doing well in the chat there. Real quick announcement. The next 2 weeks, we will be off on Throwback. I will be traveling. I leave the following Wednesday, so I got to leave early, so I won't have time to do Throwback. So no Throwback next week, none the week after. I return that following Wednesday. So
I didn't fire him.
You didn't fire me from that.
Just for those, you know, late to because you know we never know who's going to watch this when, you know. So yeah.
Now heads up, the guys here are going to do something in place of this show. They'll think of something. Mark was already shooting ideas around. Truck was shooting ideas around. We got some ideas. They're going to fill the slot with something else, but I am not missing Throwbacks. I didn't say preemptive without me. I said, don't do it without me. I want to be on here for all of them. So they'll do something else, fill the spot. And I'll be back in about 2 weeks after this. So, and real quick, big announcement to the J-Bone. You got the Patreon tiers set up. Can you pull that up real quick if you don't mind?
Oh, sure.
Big thanks to all the patrons. The Patreon stuff has been killing it. Family dinners, after darks. We started a new show. Mark and I did a hit and run. which is a 30-minute, well, it turned up being like 60-minute truck. How about that?
Big surprise. It was over an hour.
Was it an hour?
It was over an hour.
It's supposed to be a 30-minute hit and run inspired by J-Bone, J-Bones and Lifestyle, the hit and run.
I don't know what you're referring to.
And that is a true story. If you're a Patreon, you know that's a true story.
Oh, yeah, you sure do. So originally, the hit and run was Kyle's Digest show, late night Digest show, which did great, lasted two episodes. He canceled himself. We picked it back up, resurrected the series. So it's I like this. Zach saying you should call yours, J-Bone, the Smash and Go. I like that. Smash and Go.
That sounds like my whole sex life in my 20s.
My God, Jesus Christ!
Oh, very nice. Okay, all right. A little too much information for me, but that's okay.
Who's on the show tonight? Just real quick, I want to show the Patreon stuff. Then we'll get into the review, J-Bone. This is absolutely to upset all the people who are pissed off that we have a Patreon. That's what this is right here.
Okay, so you want me to share the page on here?
Yeah, go ahead, throw the page up. I just want to glance over it. We are tweaking some tiers here. We're gonna add some more stuff. We're gonna move some stuff around. The director of authority, Truck here has been very vocal about making sure we give the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to the Patreon. He's really been yelling at us a lot in our chats. I got to tell you guys this.
I'm very diplomatic.
He is very diplomatic, but he's a great director of authority. You are an amazing director of authority. I'm glad to have you. So we got the different tiers. Jay, can you display all of them? We have more now. Look at all these fucking tiers.
Well, they don't all fit. I mean, you can talk about each one, and then when you get to the last one, I'll scroll down.
All right, here we go. I'm going to run through real quick. If you haven't joined, it's patreon.com/WeTalkImpact. Dollar, it's like here's a dollar. It's like we're strippers on a pole. You're throwing a dollar at us. $3 tier, get the hit and run. You get the Twitter. We're adding a Twitter follow back. Do that to let us know if you join. Let us know what your Twitter handle is. Shout outs, undying love and gratitude. $5 tier is your bonus family dinner. Everything also included in the 3-in-1. So everything included in the 3-in-1, but you get the family dinner as well. Go ahead, Jay. What's the rest of them here?
You get $3 a month.
No, bring up the other levels here.
Okay. Yeah.
Bring them all up here.
Okay, here we go. And then there's
the old tenor. The 10 gets you access to the treehouse, the private Discord shacker, which is awesome. Watch alongs, you get pay per views, BS, and big friendships going on in there. The live streams, you get the After Dark show, you get the Fam's Choice poll. Watch along and review. You get the rants. The Trent rants are in there, plus everything included in the other tiers as well. So consider it. If you haven't joined, try it for a month even if it's a $3 tier. Give it a shot. You'll see what happens. But we appreciate all the support from everybody here. So thank you all for that. It's been wonderful. We really appreciate the patrons.
But if you are a Patreon at that $10 tier, we are watching Shine 68 this Sunday. Main events: Allison Kay and Ivelisse in a steel cage. So
no shit, really?
Their first steel cage ever. And the undercard main event is Natalia Markova against the Woad. And I really like Natalia. She looks like a bombshell, and she absolutely beats the shit out of everybody she's in the ring with. So big fan. I'm looking forward to it. And actually, one of our regulars is going to be there.
Who's that?
I don't know if he's in the El Punk. Is he in the chat?
Oh, Eric DeHoff. Yeah, Eric lives in the area.
Oh, yeah. Eric goes to almost all those down there. Yeah.
Yeah, Eric. So he's going to be there. I've been looking for him.
Let us know. Let us know how it is, Eric. He's always really great about giving us an update later on. He'll send me some photos he took and stuff like that. So, Eric, please keep that coming. We appreciate that. But let's jump in, boys. Shall we get into this? This is NWA TNA number 86, March 17th, 2004. Now, I was on my buddy Dave's couch. Which I'm not going to say. We have a surprise about the couch. I was on my buddy Dave's couch watching this, forked over my $5. It's March, probably Chinese food on the delivery for this one. J-Bone, what was happening with you? March of 04, 17.
Oh, God.
He was so devastated, Truck, when I'm like, what were you doing? Jay was like, like Willie Matt. Like,
it's obviously like he does not want to remember these days, or he can't.
It's both. I mean, they're a blur.
It's that same reaction when Willie Mack asked you if you have hair on your booty cheeks.
Oh,
Anything, J-Bone? Can you just lie to me? Nothing. Just lie to me. Make up something.
I burned down a stripper joint because they wouldn't give me my dollars back at the end of the night because I was too drunk. And I was like, well, I was drunk, so, you know, that's not fair.
I never thought of using that one before, Jay.
I was drunk. I didn't mean to tip you all those dollars. I don't even
you
like
that
you.
Good of a dancer.
That's why I love Chuck. That's why we keep him around. See, he laughs at all my really stupid shit.
Chuck, you remember where you were March 17th of 04?
That would have been the end of my third year of my undergraduate, or getting close to it. So I was probably skipping sleep and prepping for exams and
March is
working a lot.
Midterm, it's about midterms, right? March is midterm-ish, almost, right before spring break.
End of April would be the end of the winter term. So that's the end of the calendar year for like a course year.
Gotcha. Is that a strong style t-shirt you're wearing there? What is that t-shirt?
Sure it is.
Yeah, I caught that logo. Very nice.
Yeah, cool. I really like this one.
Very Sammy
It's
Carolina
hard to not find wrestling stuff that is not black.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sick of wearing black shirts. I don't want any more black shirts.
I know.
You took down all your wrestling stuff.
I put it all away, yeah, because I'm studying in here now because I'm, you know, working and teaching again, so I needed a space.
Can't have all that on the walls.
I'm so sorry.
You don't want to? No, that's fine. I'm just, you know, I was like, hey, what happened? You know.
I agree. I was looking at my closet and I'm like, what's with all these fucking black t-shirts? I was telling, like, with print on them. I was like, you know, I tell my mom the other day. I'm like, Mom, I really got to start wearing like plain shirts. I turn 40 in a month, Truck. I can't be walking around with t-shirts that say like, you know, your hard ass better fuck. Call some, yeah, hard as fuck, and your ass better call somebody. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing here, Truck?
For that Eddie Kingston shirt. That I shared with you
God,
guys.
My God.
That is a crime. Whipper approved that.
I saw the new Deonna Purrazzo shirt too. I was like, what are we doing here? Why are we making shirts that nobody can wear outside of a wrestling show? You know what I mean? I just like, why not make them cool?
Apparently, yeah. I need to look at these.
Yeah, I just
cool,
saw
like the new TNI merch we're going to have
in
October.
Absolutely. We're going to have
which you'll be able to wear everywhere. Like people are going to compliment you and they're going to say, that is such a cool design.
Is there any updates on that truck?
No, our time slot is in mid-October, so it hasn't actually started yet. But
it'll come
out. Oh, okay. Okay.
The guy's super busy. I was lucky to even get in. You know,
no, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't know like where it was like landing as far as when he was working
on stuff.
It's
coming.
Okay.
I even recommended Brandon Toll, referee Brandon Toll is looking for a designer. I dropped our buddy Juan's name in there too. I said, you want a designer? This is the guy. Because he actually makes shirts you can wear anywhere, man.
Yes.
They're cool.
And that's the thing. You know, so much of the merch that's available, you can wear it to a show and that's it. And just even just wearing it on the street, walking to the coffee shop or something, I would never wear this. This looks horrible.
Yeah, I've shifted over to a lot of more generalized t-shirts that are a little more acceptable publicly.
Yes. But nothing that says hard as fuck.
I will not be wearing a hard as fuck t-shirt. But all right, everybody, let's start this off. The bell is out. Cowbell is ready, and you guys, with all the Jeff Jarrett on this fucking show, my goodness, this cowbell is going to get some whoppers here. All right, let's get going here, guys. We get a recap of 84, 85, the Harris hype, like last couple episodes. Basically, they've made Harris feel very important to me already, which I absolutely think is brilliant, which is something they don't do enough of nowadays, is make the challenger feel very important. Harrison, this one felt very important, which I loved. And we start off right away with a match, X Division style, Kazarian versus Elix Skipper. So Skipper had been gone, right? This has been a bit since he's been back.
A little bit.
Kazarian
he's been
was
back
gone
for a few shows now.
Yeah,
Kazarian. This is the first one back for a while, I think. AJ.
Yeah, Elix Skipper returned like a few weeks ago. Kazarian's been gone for a while.
Kazarian came out to that music that so many people have come out to before. I think even like Abyss came out to it once. And so That's like that reuse, like, okay, we need general rock, dark rock theme. Put it on this guy, and it's like that same music. And I wish, looking back at all 86, I wish I had been noting down when the like repeats of whose music was what. Because I could have loved to list it out. How many people have used this music today? I was like, you break this shit.
Some royalty free speed.
It's all it is.
Picked up at a gas station.
It's like Cracker Barrel or something. So they sell the story that Kaz was really out to prove why he wasn't on team, he should have been picked for team NWA. Pissed off about that. I know it was a solid match. Really just solid. Nothing too crazy. But Frankie wins with a tights roll up. And then afterwards attacks Elix. And then during the match, Tanay even notes that like Triple X is back and talking. I thought Triple X was going to run out here at this point because he kept selling the fact that like Triple X is talking again and talking again. They don't do anything, but Jerry Lynn comes out and fends off Kaz. So any thoughts on this? Any feedback? I mean, nothing too crazy, but I don't know, Jay?
It's annoying when you're doing like the finish and the ref is literally inches away from where he was pulling the tights. And it's like, I don't even remember like who the ref was, but it's just one of those things where it happened so fast, but the ref was right there.
Yeah.
And when he's up to like, you know, ring the bell, boom, it's like his hands on the tights right there. It's like,
yeah, weird. The referees, man, are so god awful in the Asylum era. I'm ashamed for the referees. Truck, anything of note on this one? I didn't catch that, what you talked about with the tights thing, Jay. Anything you catch here, Chuck? Anything?
The tights thing, yeah, because it was, you know, he's right next to it. How you're not noticing this, you're just choosing not to acknowledge it. I thought it was a fine match. There were some clunky bits off the start. I wasn't sure if just, have these guys not worked together that much, or is there confusion over who's supposed to be calling things? But I thought it was fine.
Otherwise, it was fine.
It was a good opener. It was a good thing. Good one to open the show with.
I
think the segment that we're about to transition into really kind of torpedoed any sort of momentum that they were building.
Oh, we're going to get match. Let's get to that. But before we do, it's Scott Hudson with the contenders of the gauntlet tonight. So you got Glenn Gilberti, Michael Shane, David Young, Johnny Swinger with Trinity out of nowhere. Is when did that happen? That she's seconding Swinger? That did not happen until this week, right?
I noticed that she's like really touchy feely with him.
Yeah, which means
who wouldn't be, Jay?
I mean, look at
swing
him,
man.
Yeah, you guys swing.
Well, I'm just saying, if I was Swinger, I wouldn't mind. But I was just surprised. I was like, wait a minute.
You guys swing?
Mark, go to bed. Mark is still in the chat.
Mark's still in the chat? What are you doing here?
Go to bed, Mark.
Mark didn't even watch the episode?
Even watch the episode. Oh. Why are you watching the review? You're spoiling it. You're spoiling the episode for yourself.
For yourself, man.
No spoilers.
Congratulations, Mark. You played yourself.
from the show for 15 years ago. No spoilers.
He's right, though. They had nothing to do with Trinity. I mean, Trinity is such a lost character at this point. That I'm like, man, they have really written her into the ground. Like, oh, just go with Swinger now. Now it's not
They don't have anybody for her to wrestle, you know.
That's the thing. So, there's nobody to wrestle. And she's a worker.
Gender wasn't a thing at this time.
No, even though she did the thing with Cash, which was intense.
Outside of that. Which is hard to watch.
I thought it was well done in terms of like they worked hard together.
Oh yeah.
I thought they really gave it their all. In retrospect, yeah, I mean, looking back, it's very today in today's world, no way the shit he was doing to her absolutely would not fly. Slinger Trinity and Kid Cash all basically saying there's no unity here, it's all meant everyone for themselves. But then everyone sarcastically is telling Disco, like, yeah, we're with you, of course we are. Oh, yeah,
and he believes them because he's believes an idiot.
but David Young really is, though. David Young's like,
David's sincere, you can trust him.
I noticed, though, new background set on this one. Did you guys catch that? The new KG-looking set was cool.
Yeah, with the big sign. And,
cool. It looked cool. All right, now, this is the in-ring. This is the segment that Truck Feels tanked the episode 10 minutes into it. Well, let me set it up, and I'm going to pitch to you, Truck, to go ahead and discuss it here. So Mike Tenay's in the ring. He introduces Vince Russo, and they talk. Vince Russo comes in. They talk to Chris Harris's match, and he says, "I hope Chris Harris wins." Raven comes out with Sabu. Russo says, "You know, he's like, what about me? What about Raven? Chris Harris doesn't deserve this. It's my destiny." You know, he's really milking like they don't deserve it. I do. Russo's like, "I'll tell you what. I'll put you in the gauntlet match. How about that? I'll make you a deal. You win that, you're the number one contender." Raven's like, sarcastically, he's like, "Oh, great. I can qualify for a contendership. Yay, great." He goes, "I don't need to qualify. The fans are very much behind Raven for this moment. Like, they are really into Raven a lot." Sabu also does nothing on this show, by the way. I realized.
He looks great.
Just got paid to be there. Jeff Jarrett and Abyss are watching the lower third. They refer to that. Russo then says, "Okay, Raven, fine. You twisted my arm, bro. I'm going to put you in the three-way ladder. I'm going to make the ladder match with AJ and Abyss a three-way. You win that. You're the number one contender." Now, question I have for you both here is, are there two matches on the same show for number one contendership?
They sure are. It only dawned on me during the ladder match.
Right. I was like, who's the fucking number one contender then?
It's like during the ladder match, at one point, the camera pans up and I'm like, there's a contract up there. Is this a number one match?
It is. Jay, you're going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, right. Going into that match, it's called the 10-man contenders gauntlet. And it doesn't mean it's not as definite as, okay, you're the number one contender.
You're a contender.
But you are a contender, which means you get, I know. You get an opportunity down the road. That's what it is. So it's like, okay, so you're not going to be first, but whoever, like, you know, is like champ within, you know, when this next person gets an opportunity, then you can have yours.
Tanae's trying to explain the rules of the gauntlet while it's happening. So I can't imagine what this was like to watch live, where, you know, the crowd's not going to have any clue what are the stakes involved in this.
I fast forward. I mean, I know we're skipping ahead here, but I fast forwarded through that. I just knew it was going to be a mess, and I kept listening to commentary here and there. Is he eliminated? Oh. Oh, okay.
Well, let's get to that. You're right, though. I mean, why Tanae's a genius? Because he has to cover shit like this sometimes. Like, that is.
And he does it so well. He does it so well.
Amazingly well. Yeah. Amazingly well. And Raven's like, "No, I'm not going to be in the three-way match. The hell with it." Zeus is like, I'm out of options then, bro. I got nothing else for you. And Raven's like, "Yeah, you got one more option." He's like, "Harris isn't ready. Put me in the match. That's it. That's your option. He's not ready. Give me my title shot." Crowd loving this, going nuts. I think Raven is amazing here. I wrote down, I think he's very compelling. Like, he's capturing everybody because he's got this crowd eating out of the palm of his hands. Again, because I also feel they're still very unfulfilled from 43 when he didn't win the title. Mm-hmm. And he's selling that a lot. And again, Jared's champion again. So they're probably like, "Yeah, you know what? He never really got his fucking title." Russo says, "No, it's Harris." Bottom line, Raven's playing in the crowd. Says, "Take him out, put me in." Russo's like, "Not tonight. That's it." It seems, I love Russo looked very realistic. He's like, "Raven, that's it. It's not going to happen tonight. You're not asking me." Like, he was very good at performing this. And he was like, "It's not going to happen." And Raven's like, "You don't want me as champion, but before the night is over, I'm going to have your attention." All right. Truck, thoughts on this? Why did this tank the show for you 10 minutes into it?
It didn't tank the show because I did like, you know, the beginning there when Raven falls on his knees and he's sarcastically saying, "Oh, thank you so much for putting me in this gauntlet. I appreciate this. Oh, my time is here, finally." It went too long and it was really repetitive. And, you know, at one point it starts to slide into that sort of work shoot stuff, which always falls flat with me. I never enjoy that.
Yeah,
and then it immediately transitions back into being a work with Raven finishing off with his catchphrase, which really doesn't fit with the tone that he was just creating by talking about, you know, his run at WCW and getting politicked out of all these positions.
And yeah, just it wasn't bad. It just went on too long. And I think you can say that a lot of the segments at this point, that if they were shortened by just like a minute or two, they would have been a lot stronger. But, you know, if you go back and you re-listen to it, Raven repeats the exact same lines several times throughout the promo. And you know, I don't know if they just had to fill time or if it wasn't really, you know, well blocked out beforehand. But yeah, it wasn't that it was bad. It was just a bit clunkier than it should have been. And that work shoot stuff, get out of here. You know, the internet wrestling community still was in its infancy back then. You're probably talking to five people when you're talking about stuff like that. So just get out.
I did like how authentic Russo telling him no came off, though. It wasn't very...
This is the work that Russo has been doing character-wise in this whole Harris thing. In my opinion, and like as a guy who watched all of his WCW stuff, this is the best character work he's ever done.
I think it's great.
Yeah, sincere, very genuine. You know, I think he's found a real sweet spot for himself to be both a character but also toned down enough to be believable. He's playing the straight man in the situation, and I thought he was really good at it.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to that scene where Jarrett was slapping him around and bullying him, and how he looked like such a victim to me. You know, like he was like, God damn, like I believe how neutral he is now, the straight man, and he comes off that way, man.
Yeah,
I do like that. We go right back to that's the good return here. Well, we returned last week, but we're talking to Scott Hudson with Monty Brown, J Bone, Monty Brown, J Bone. I think we, because he's on the show, I think we have to play the Monty Brown soundbite here. I think we have to do. Here it is.
Period.
Speaking of which, if you want to cheer bits or use a super sticker on YouTube or do anything like that, I will play any soundbite of your choice. And thank you in advance for anyone who wants to sub on Twitch. Remember, you got Amazon Prime. You can sub for free. Sub on Twitch, cheer some bits, subscribe, super sticker on YouTube, all that jazz. But go ahead.
It's also September.
Oh, half off. Half off on Twitch.
No, it's 20% off.
20% off. Come on. It's cheap enough. Cheap enough. J-Bone, can buy some. Where the hell are the lollipops lately? I don't see any lollipops out of you.
No, J-Bone's got to, like, change his diet. I'm like, whoa. I'm done with coffee. Yeah.
Coffee, too.
Oh, it's – I'm going to be a – one grumpy bone.
When did this start? When did the coffee and no lollipop start?
Well, the lollipops has been for a bit. That was kind of a gimmick. Yeah. But coffee is like, wake up, take medication, have a cup of coffee. Now it's wake up, take medication,
sit around,
sigh, loudly.
Wait, when did you stop with everything though?
I kind of decided that today because the heartburn, like you deal with gastritis and heartburn long enough and you just finally, like, fine, I'll give this up. Fine, I'll give that up. Okay, but I'm not giving this up. Fine, I'll give that up too. Fuck.
Poor guy. Poor guy, Jim. I'm sorry to hear that. So,
pathetic.
Sorry.
Did you try that?
Chicken and rice.
What are you doing?
Ooh. Chicken and rice, healthy stuff.
Chicken and rice. That's going to be about it. That or, you know, chicken soup, you know, no sodium.
Wow.
Toast with, you know, butter, lots of water. Just boring as fuck.
What happened to this guy?
Water's delicious, Jay.
Water's great. Water's delicious.
It's, yeah, it does.
No. I'll tell you what you do. You get like a nice jug with a good filter and you keep that in the fridge. And you get some nice cucumber, and you put some cucumber slices in there, and that's the water you have. I'm going to change your life here, Jay.
Yeah.
That's the water you have. Don't get this plastic bottle shit. Yeah, don't drink that plastic bottle stuff, because you're going to taste the plastic, and that's gross. You get this nice Brita jug with the filter.
I can't fit. How do I?
The cucumber goes into the jug.
How do I fit the cucumber in the...
He's hopeless. He's hopeless, Truck. Look at this guy. He's lost. No, the cucumber thing is good, Jay. Good for you. Good.
No, I have heard about that. I have heard. And then, when you're done, like, soaking them in the water, you put them on your eyes for, like, a thing, right?
You're overcomplicating this.
Yeah, you're so really complicating this, Jay.
I've just given you a way to enjoy the water that you've got to drink anyhow.
I'm just trying to understand this.
Look at this. Look, J-Mo, look, stand straight. Look, look at this. Look at your arm here. You have a giant, your arm is you. Mayor is saying you have a giant arm.
It's like one of those giant foam things. Just slide it into there.
And then you wave it around.
Everybody recommend J-Bone a healthy recipe. At least one. And don't forget to like the video on YouTube if you're watching YouTube.
All right.
What should you do to the bell, Trent?
It's right here. Oh, tickle the bell. I don't do that tickle bell stuff. These limeys over in the UK with their bell tickling. I don't know about all this, man. Fucking weird.
Yeah, they're doing this.
You know, like, tickle that bell. And I was like, Bison, you are going to get us banned from YouTube with this, like, this bell perversion you have.
I wonder if it means something else to them.
He always does it like with like a wink, like, don't forget to tickle that bell, mate. And I'm like, what are you saying? Is this what you do? Like, is this a Friday night thing? Like, hello, love. I mean, tickle your bell, huh? You know, like, fancy, tickle your bell. Hey, love. You know, is that something you do at the pub? In England, I don't know, but he's always like, "Huh? Fancy a ticket, you bet, love." I don't know, man. It's fucked up, J-Bone.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch some old Benny Hill episodes.
I do like the glasses pull. Like the let me look at this a little bit closer here. The old man glasses pull down.
I grew up on a lot of Benny Hill.
That explains so much. J-Bone.
Do you wonder where the perversions came from at a young age?
Take it easy, Harry. Take it easy, Jay. That's enough. That's enough. All right, listen, Monty Brown says the clowns don't run this place. I do. He was great. He was fantastic here. He was mocking the clown. Let's go chicken hunting. He's like, no, let me do a chicken hunting. This is my house. And I was like, this guy. He is phenomenal.
I love Monty Brown. See, and I only got so far into the episode last week, and I wasn't going to be here, and I ran out of time. So I made the cover what it was. Had I realized just like 10, 15 minutes later at the end of the episode that Monty Brown was going to show up, he would have been the cover. So, like, you know, I'm listening to the review, and I'm like, wait, who showed up? Oh, shit. Apparently, I missed that. Son of a bitch. Last week's.
Brown's great. Weird thing, though. He did that promo for Lance Archer, like, that only aired on social media, like, a year ago. Remember this? He, like, unearthed himself, did a promo for Lance Archer, putting him over against for his TNT title match against Brody, I think, at the time, I want to say. I don't know. I don't really. I'm just shooting in the dark here, but...
Yeah,
he did a promo for Lance. Everybody's like, oh my god, like they found him, he's coming back, and nothing. It's been like radio silence since, out of nowhere. I don't know, man.
He did trademark his name though for merch and stuff, so that means something. To what degree, I don't know, but I have a feeling I don't know if it's gonna be like a pro wrestling tease thing,
might as well.
I don't know if it's a Hall of Fame thing. I don't know.
Might as well, man. Put it up. Make the tease story. Can't hurt. So he just talks about that, you know, what he's doing here. And then it goes to the match. Monty Brown versus Chris Vaughn of Black Shirt Security.
God.
The shot of Brown just looking across the ring at Chris Vaughn at the beginning of the match. Truck, I don't know if you noticed this, but it just looked like he was going, he was going to look like, what the fuck is this? I just want to kill this guy. Like, that's it. It was such a great like look across the ring. I was like, man, this is hilarious. Johnny Fairplay is at ringside, front row with his paparazzi posse, and
definitely not paid to be there. Those are his real friends.
Real friends. Those are his both girlfriends. He was RVD before RVD with two chicks on his arm.
Yeah, but, a guy with hair like that, I believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, he was on Survivor, man. Hit show. Number one show.
That's true.
And there's people who will just pay attention to guys like that just because they were on a hit show. Brown does the pounce, but that's not the finish. He does a power bomb the finisher. The pounce period is not the finisher.
The alpha bomb.
Alpha bomb. Post-match beatdown, Heavy D rescues Vaughn. I don't know. I mean, just a squash, I guess, Truck, just for to get Brown back in?
I don't think it was a squash because Chris, you know, got some stuff in and, you know, tried to put Monty, you know, on the back foot and find a way to get an advantage over this guy. So I actually enjoyed it, even though, you know, obviously as soon as I saw him come out, yeah, Chris is losing here.
Clearly.
This isn't going to turn out well for him. But it was, you know, a decent enough match. I don't think Sabanite's in the chat. I haven't seen his name. But apparently Chris was super over with the ladies in the audience. And they were very upset when he lost. Yeah, they went nuts. And if you were watching the show and you listened, at several points throughout, a Chris chant starts.
Really?
So, yeah, the guy was over with the people who were there.
I want to say, Jay, didn't Sabanite tell us that Vaughn, he was local, right? Like something, it was something like they liked, he was a local kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you listen to his entrance, when he comes out there and he jumps on the ropes and he's yelling at the crowd. Oh, there is it's oh, just like impregnated women everywhere. The whole front row, boom, pregnant.
Even the dude with the mullet.
To the mullet.
Oh. The guy in the Kiss shirt?
Oh, man. I was thinking of J-Bone the whole time. Let me hear
you. Oh, my God.
Let me talk to you, Jay.
that mullet is hairdo of the entire flipping episode.
He's been growing that his entire life.
No, he's been growing that since episode one. Now he's on 86 weeks of of mullet. It's great.
But it's like Joe Dirt with like a little inflated here. Yeah.
But he had that big old Gene Simmons face, and I'm like, a J-Bone? I guarantee J-Bone's going to have this in his notes. Kiss guy in the front row.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. This crowd felt different. I mean, there was a little bit of ICP stuff.
Very little.
Very, very little. But some of the regulars that are typically in the front row right behind the ring, they weren't there tonight. So it felt almost like a fresh crowd. Like
it was a hot crowd too, though.
Yeah, they certainly weren't dead. Like no. It took them a little bit to get going, but they were good. They were good. It just was a little weird.
My theory in that is that you maybe had some of the people who, I mean, it's 86 weeks. You're almost at 2 years here, right? Who maybe year one, quote unquote, grew up with Harris at the Asylum, who watched that whole rise from year one. Started hearing, oh man, he's gonna be in the main event tonight. I'll go out on Wednesday and watch. You know, they were cheap tickets. Remember, they're 10, 15 bucks. It was nothing. So maybe it was one of those things where they were just like, yeah, you know, I want to go see this. Maybe it's some people coming back to see Harris. Clearly, it was a draw. The house was hot. Unfortunately, what happens later, we'll talk about. But Scott Hudson with AJ Styles, Bell's really getting the workout today. With AJ Styles talking about the Abyss match. And then Hudson asked him about Chris Harris and Raven. AJ's like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm the guy. No, I don't care about, I don't think they deserve it either, but I'm focused on me. And Scott asks, have you spoken to Russo? And he's like, no, and I don't plan to. So that's pretty much wrapping that part up. And then we go to Shane Douglas and James Storm, which I thought was a good match to have because, right? Because Harris beats Douglas last week. Storm, we don't want to get loot lost in the shuffle. And then Tanay brilliantly references it that Douglas wants that revenge. Lost to Harris. I want to get it over on his partner now. Confused by the Tracy Brooks stuff, though, Truck, in this one. I don't really know what they're doing. All of a sudden, it's like there's dissension in this, and she costs Shane the match.
After off of belly to belly. Like, we're supposed to believe that was going to get the pin?
I mean, that was Shane's finisher, was the belly to belly. That was always his finisher.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that was his finisher. It was a Irish whip belly to belly. That was his deal.
That was the worst.
It was not a good one.
Belly to belly. The funny part about this, it was very Three Stooges kind of humor, honestly. In my professional podcasting opinion.
The PPO.
If you look during the match, James Storm gets real frustrated with Tracy Brooks.
Terry Brooks.
Terry.
Sounds like an actor.
different company. My bad.
Is there a Terry Brooks somewhere?
No, I'm thinking of like Terry Runnels. It's, you know.
Hmm.
That's Terry, the only other Terry I could think of off the top of my head.
Terry Crews, an actor?
Yeah, well, he does like Old Spice and his head explodes. Anyways.
That's Terry Crews, right? The Terry Bollea. That's Hulk Hogan's Terry.
That's
Rhino is a Terry. Terry Garin, that's really? Rhino. Yeah, he's a Terry.
Yeah.
Would you believe that?
He doesn't look like a Terry. He looks like a Rhino.
He looks like a Rhino. Rhino. His real name is Terry Garin. A little French. A little Frenchie. What's wrong, J-Bone? What am I? I'm giving you facts. I'm giving you trivia, man. How many more Terrys we got?
I had one little botch and look where it went.
Terry Taylor?
Dear God.
All right, go ahead, J-Bone.
You wanted to get out of here at a reasonable hour.
We're making good time, and we're on segment 8 of 14. We're making great time here.
Okay.
This is true. But no, James Storm, at one point, he's trying to get rid of Tracy off the apron. He gives her an eye poke, and she loses her glasses.
When you made that face, I couldn't keep on.
She loses her glasses, and that's why I said this turns into like a Three Stooges bit almost, because she's trying to help distract the ref, but she can't tell who's doing what in the ring. You know,
it's a sad moment. They're breaking up, J-Bone.
You should. Well, I don't know. I was like more worried about her vision, honestly, but it's. Honestly, it's more the side affair thing is coming to the light of day.
Yes. And that's so we get that. We get that whole deal, right? But I'm still confused on. All right. So Storm wins, and then Douglas is yelling at Tracy. Michael Shane comes out, gets between them, and calms Douglas down. He's like, I'm sorry. Now, they always. It's weird. They always almost hinted like Douglas and Tracy are the ones fooling around. It's always been like they've been pecking and you know, she's all rubbing up on him. Shane just happens to be like the friend. She's like, you know, go out to the ring with him. He just holds her hand. They walk out of the ring. Now all of a sudden, is it like, you know, is it the third wheel situation where he's like, he's been jealous the whole time. I've loved you the whole time. You know, he's treated you like shit. Clearly.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Right. Right. I would just botch.
Sliding into her DMs.
Sliding into her DMs. You know.
Slide. Into her MySpace messages.
That's damn. Let me be in your top 8, baby. Come on. you guys ever hear the Jimmy Jacobs song, Lacey, his single that he put out around this time? It's
No.
Jimmy Jacobs put out 3 singles in his music career. The first one was Lacey. It was part of a storyline in Ring of Honor. He's in love with this girl, Lacey, who was, it did show up in TNA too. Hakeem, if you're in the chat, was she Rain? I believe, was she Rain in TNA? Lacey shows up, but yeah, Lacey and Jimmy, he was like,
Lacey, I was going to say Lacey Von Erich.
No. Lacey was a valet in Ring of Honor, but Jimmy's professing his love to her. And there's a single called, I think it's called Lacey, but one of the lines in Lacey is, put me in your top 8 when you MySpace me. It's like, Lacey, put me in your top 8 when you're my space. Me, Jimmy Jacobs. I'm telling you, it's probably on YouTube. It has to be on YouTube.
It's probably on that one YouTube channel of his. See, I came into the social media thing.
It like, is the ballad
right,
of Lacey.
Right at the tail end of the MySpace stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a girl I was dating at the time, and she showed me her MySpace page, and he said something to the effect of, "What did she say?" She said she said she was like stalking other people like a jaguar on crack or some weird freaking thing. I'm like, this.
Well, now we know what Jay's type is.
And no shit.
Well, at the time, my type was half my age and twice as hot. But
this is J-Bone's line. Half my age and twice as hot, right?
Yeah,
you perv. It's sick, son of a bitch.
It's the Kid Rock song. That was my divorce anthem.
The Ballad of Lacey is on YouTube. It's worth a watch. It's great. It's amazing. I highly recommend you listen to it. Jimmy Jacobs, the head writer at Impact Wrestling right now, has long called Lacey. And he performed it live once at 115 Bourbon Street at the Mike Bennett's bachelor party show that Ring of Honor did.
Oh my God.
It was great. I got a story. Jack, I don't think I ever told you guys a story. So Mike Bennett, they were doing a Mike Bennett's bachelor party. It was just a wild variety show, Ring of Honor show. It was fucking wild. And it was in Chicago and at Bourbon Street, J-Bone, where you've been.
Right.
And I remember Truth Martini hits me up. And I read everything Truth says in his voice. If anybody's familiar with Truth Martini's voice, it sounds like this. You know, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it like this. You know, he's a very, very, it's like a porn director or something. I don't know.
It's like a smooth pimp version of James Mitchell.
Yeah, there you go. So he sends me a message at 4 o'clock. It's a Thursday night show. He sends me a message at 4 p.m. And he's like, hey, Trent, listen, I need a couple of broads. If you got a couple of broads, you can bring them to Bourbon Street. I want them to dance on Mike. I'll pay him like 50, 100 bucks a piece. You know, what can you do for me? Can you find me a couple of chicks? And I was like, it's 4 o'clock on a Thursday. What am I supposed to, like, am I supposed to call friends of mine or like my girl, like, hey, listen, do you want to make a quick $100? Like, do you want to just grind on Mike Bennett? Like, who the fuck is Mike Bennett? Like, right? It's this fucking bachelor party. You don't have to get naked. It's a room full of, it's at a wrestling show in a wrestling ring. And like, what am I supposed to sell this as, right? So I'm at work. And I'm like, who's the one? I asked my girlfriend for. I'm like, what do I do here? I'm not asking you, but what the hell am I supposed to? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, do you want to make $100? She goes, get the fuck out of here. So she's not doing it, right? I'm out of options at this point, right? Now I'm like, truth. And I'm like, this is early. Yeah, it's like 2013. I'm not in the business at this point, but I know guy, 14 maybe. I know people, you know, and Truth Martini, who I'm a big fan, was like, I need you to get me a couple of broads. So I'm like, I'm trying to find broads for fucking Truth Martini, and I can't. And I'm like, I have 3 hours to find a couple of broads for Truth Martini.
You live in Chicago. You can't tell me that you can't find any city chicks in Chicago.
But wait a minute, guys. It's not finding. I know women. It's like, how do you convince? Listen, I need you. to come with me. You'll be home by 10:30. I need you to come with me. You need to grind on Mike Bennett. Who the fuck is Mike Bennett? He's a wrestler. What am I doing here? You need to give him a lap dance in the middle of a wrestling ring surrounded by a bunch of wrestling dudes. Like, the cell is not there, Jay. It's not there at all, man. So I get to the venue and I'm sheepish because I don't have chicks. So I go in, I try to sneak in, you know, I try to like not let Truth see me here. And he's messaging me like, hey, any word on the chicks, you know? And I'm like, what am I supposed to tell this guy? So I'm like, still working on it.
The key word here, Trent, upsell. You lie to whoever you can find and tell them like a higher number so that at least you get them in the door for the event, right? And then when it's like, okay, well, was I gonna get paid for that? Oh yeah, here's 50 bucks. Oh, Trent told me, so at least you know it's covered, you know. You can deal with the upset chicky poos later.
It was 4 o'clock on a Thursday, man. Like, even if I could convince anybody, it wouldn't happen for like that right away. Anyway, I get there, and after the show's over, see, they found some. They went to a local strip joint and got some, and that's what they should have done to begin with. But I go to Truth. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm sorry I couldn't make it work. He goes, hey, listen, I'm in Chicago. Trent's a rock star. I figure, hey, who else better to ask? You know, I figured you had a couple of broads laying around you at all times, like a harem. And I was like, yeah, but you know, I gave him the night off because I was coming to fucking Mike Bennett's bachelor party. Truth, sorry about that, pal. So, hey, don't worry about it. You want to take a picture or something? Or just remember the fucking night. And I said, all right, let's do it. So we did that. Mike Bennett's bachelor party. It's on DVD. It's on Honor Club. Worth a watch. It is ridiculous. Mainly for the fact that there was a parade of transvestites who came out, and Silas Young was like, what in the fuck shit is going on around here? That was a great reaction. Because he wasn't expecting to see a parade of transvestites at a Asher party.
I feel bad. I honestly feel bad now that I missed this episode, because that was towards the tail end of, I feel like that was the tail end of Mike Bennett's run there.
It was.
And yeah,
not too much. It was a little bit was, no, that was a little earlier.
Okay.
But it also included Davey Richards humping a turnbuckle. So if that doesn't sell you guys, I don't know what does.
He was one of my favorites back then.
And then Eddie Edwards, Mr. Impact, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards performing a simulated Eiffel Tower in the middle of a match. If you don't know what that is, definitely Google it, not on your work computers. Let's keep going.
Oh, God.
Great sidebar.
Mark, you better be at this thing next week. Oh, wait, 2 weeks off. Never mind.
We are in the gauntlet now. Oh, here we go. The gauntlet. Oh, no, wait. Scott Hudson with Jeff Jarrett and Abyss. And they're talking about the title picture and, you know, what's going to happen. Just kind of selling the title. Goldilocks.
Jason. Oh, no. Wait. Before Goldilocks.
Hmm.
You have to rewatch this.
Okay.
You have to rewatch this. Just turn the volume off.
Okay.
Cover up 2/3 of the screen and just look at Abyss on the left side of the screen.
Oh, wait. Wow. Why?
It tells a lot.
Well, break it down. We don't have it here. I didn't catch any of this.
Because I was like, okay, so Abyss is behind Jarrett. And, you know, and he's got the mask on. So you can only see his eyes and his hairs, and you have to pay attention to his body language. His body language says, because usually he's just doing these kind of things, you know, mm-hmm. You know, this kind of like big boy, I'm going to crush you shit. You know, I can't pull it off because you can see my face and you can hear me talk. But when it's behind the mask, it's completely different. He's standing behind Jeff Jarrett, and he's looking over at Scott, and he looks down at the belt. He looks over at Scott. He looks at Jeff, and he looks at the belt. He keeps doing this back and forth. Then he starts touching the belt. Then he's like patting the belt like he's patting his shoulder. Like, yeah, I'm right behind you.
I like it.
And then he's like doing this shit, and he's looking at the belt. So it's like, okay, this is the first time he's paying attention to the championship. Because later he's going for a contender spot.
That's brilliant. I like that. I like
good
that.
Catch, Jay.
Very good catch, Jay Bob.
But the Goldie stuff makes you forget about that instantly.
Sure did. So,
because she walks in and she's like, she's talking sure to Eric. And she's leaving a number, and it's priceless. And then pay attention to her eyes too.
Oh, I always do, bud.
Because then, you know, Jeff's fucking with her, and then Jeff leaves, and then she's looking over at, she's looking at Jeff as he's walking away, and then she turns around and looks at Abyss. Yeah. And then she slowly looks back at Jeff, and then she slowly looks back at Abyss, like, huh, you can see the crazy lady wheels turning.
Yeah, I did like that. That subtlety was great. That was great. That's definitely some foreshadow on something. I like that they're keeping her around. She is. I like Goldie. There's something about it that just appeals.
She's a likable person. Yeah.
She's my kind of crazy.
We all know that. We all know that. So that was a nice little thing insert in there just for some extra story to pump up what's eventually going to happen with these guys here. And then we go to the gauntlet. Simon Diamond and David Young start. I'm just going to go in order of everything. We'll almost talk about it because there's a lot ins and outs going on here. And Truck, I'll start with you on this. So that Diamond and Young start. Young is out. Cash is in. D'Lo in. Disco. D'Lo out, Siaki in. Raven sneaks in at this point. DDT Siaki. then leaves, disrupts the whole thing. I was like, what the fuck? Michael Shane's in, Conan, Cash is out at this point, Disco out, Diamond out, Swinger out, down to Truth and Michael Shane, who I think have a pretty damn good one-on-one. I was very impressed. Good chemistry. I think Michael Shane, we're pretty critical of him, but I think when he has the right opponent, man, when he can read his opponent and they got the chemistry in, it really cooks.
Yeah.
And these two had something. Great back and forth. Douglas comes out, tosses Michael Shane a chain. Shane tosses it back. Truth gets the win after that. Douglas is in there. They start arguing. And as a result of this, Truck, Truth is the number one contender for the title. Oh, yeah, right. He's the number one contender.
He's a contender.
Where his relative position in the collection of contenders is unknown.
This is such a convoluted goddamn.
Contenders have to have a match now.
Who's
the most contender of them all?
I don't know. I guess they're going to have their own contenders match the contendership.
That's to be determined.
Mark wants low key thoughts on Michael Shane this match. Michael Shane, if only you could have done this good in the match with us, you wouldn't have stunk the joint up. And the asylum wouldn't have had a decrease in attendance. Thank you, Michael Shane. I will kill you later. That's not my best low key, but it's a low key.
What's happening with that guy these days? I want to know.
He's in Japan during this time. During this stretch.
Bring him back. I miss low key.
RK just got the Honor Club. I highly recommend you watch. You might even see me on camera. I'm around the perimeter there.
He doesn't have any broads with him. That's
no broads. Wait a minute. Look who's here. Look who's in the chat. First Saban, my man. He did. The Rolodex of Horrors. He really did, man. 4 o'clock. Look, I know chicks. Especially back then, I was rolling in them truck. I was doing great. But I couldn't convince any of them to dance on Mike Bennett. In front of the wrestling ring.
Show him a photo. Mike's a good looking guy. They'd be like, oh, look, I thought this was gonna be some sweat hog. All right, I'll do you this favor.
Yeah, he was in good shape.
It's a great I highly recommend people watch the Mike Bennett Bachelor Party. It is fucking bizarre world. And then there's two shows. There's the Mike Bennett Bachelor Party and Truth Martini's Night of Hoopla. Both are unauthorized Ring of Honor shows, and they're both just buck wild. We could maybe stream those, Truck. I think Bill has the Honor Club. We gotta stream those. Yeah. You do too. Let's put them on. Let's put them in the treehouse. They are worth a watch, man.
I've got to see this.
Yeah, let's definitely organize this. All right. So there's a contender. Truth is a contender. Now, prediction here. Do they clean this up maybe in the week or two? Like explaining exactly where Truth falls as opposed to where later on the result falls. Like, I don't know.
Not a chance
that they touch it.
Are they just going to start firing people at the NWA champ?
I guess, one after another. Like, I guess Truth is first. You got the thing first. Well, here, you go first. Abyss, you go next. Whatever. Like, what a mess. Like, why do this on the same show? Did the gauntlet really need to be done on the same show? That's what I can't figure out.
Yeah, I mean, you got some cool visuals in the main event with all of the new contenders in different corners of the arena staring down at the ring, being like, all right, which one of these pricks am I taking a shot at? Mm-hmm. So that was, I thought, a neat visual. And during the gauntlet, Tanae did try and talk about how, we're not just looking at the winner here. We're looking at the order of eliminations because right. Russo is going to use this to build his power rankings. Whether or not that actually goes anywhere, we've got to wait until next week to see. But I thought that was kind of interesting to build some sort of narrative framework that's going to explain why in the coming weeks some guys get a shot at Jarrett and some guys are, further back in the pack. And it goes to when were they eliminated in this gauntlet. But
I heard there was a company about 15 years later that actually started doing that ranking.
It's exactly what I thought of, Jay. When today started explaining this, like, oh, welcome to TNA where wins and losses matter.
Oh, God.
Better put it up on the screen. 4-0.
And speaking of that, Trent's going to be on that other little podcast tomorrow night. Aren't you, Trent?
Oh shit. Jay, but can I reschedule that, please? I'm so sorry. I agreed to go to a White Sox game tomorrow. My first baseball game of the year. I'm so sorry.
He's big leaguing you, Jay. He's big
I promise. You. No, I do owe Jay's listeners an appearance on Smash. What time are you going to be? Depending on how long the game goes. Maybe I'll catch you.
He's going to cry, Trent. Look at him.
I know.
He's
Jay,
gonna cry.
Jay, can you tell your listeners I will be on in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. There's a bell for you. Sorry. I apologize. You know what's funny, Jay? When my buddy texted me 2 days ago, he was like, hey, White Sox game, who's in? I'm like, you know what? I've been to a game all week or all year. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, I kept thinking, I'm like, do I have anything going on Wednesday? I mean, Nicole's working. She's not around. Okay. Not doing that. I'm like, no, I'm free. No music sub. I'm good. I'm good on Wednesday. Then I'm like, put me down. You know, I'll be in. And then I get reminded. I'm sorry, Jay Bone. I apologize.
It's okay.
I apologize. Okay. 2 weeks.
You'll make it up to me. Oh, no, you're going to be gone.
2 weeks, I'll make it up to you.
Jay, I just want to remind you once again that Trent's never given me that phone call. So
I called you, Trent. I'm not buying this bullshit anymore. I called you live on the air.
Nine minutes out of 600. So
in dog
that's years. What you're going to get, Jay. You're going to get 9 minutes out of 600.
In Twitch years.
I've actually gotten like 2 years out of him. I'm doing pretty good.
He's doing all right. Truck in 9 minutes in Twitch years is like, I mean, it's astronomical. Ask Impact.
When you get back from Mexico,
yeah,
we'll hook up.
J-Mo, if I buy you a Lucha mask, will you let me off the hook of watching AEW? If I just give you a Lucha mask? You know, I plan on like buying a shit ton of Lucha masks if I can find them in Mexico.
If you find me a Pentagon or Phoenix, I'll think about it.
You got it, pal. You got it, my man. I'm on it. I plan on coming back with a suitcase full. I'm not going to display them
because
it's more the thrill of just buying it at the fuck in Mexico.
You know, Manny Bones needs a. I mean, I love Shark Boy on him, but he needs a change up.
All right, you got it. We'll work on it. I'll see what I can do. Here. All right, we go to Don West, black on black, looking sleek, looking jacked. Russo and Raven are in the back arguing about what just happened. Raven says, all right, I'll leave, but I'm not leaving because of you. I'm leaving on my own. And Sabu just kind of follows him. Sabu, who got paid to do nothing on this episode, which is great. And then we go to the ladder match, Abyss versus AJ. And my notes literally say, wait, is this for a number one contendership? That's what my notes say on this. Match was unreal. I think these two have some of the greatest chemistry I've ever seen in professional wrestling, hands down.
It's a contract on a pole without the pole.
Without the pole. let me just stop there. From a match perspective, I think this was a phenomenal match of just pure action. Back and forth. Anybody, Truck, they ain't disagreements, I don't know.
No, I mean, how could you disagree with that? Unbelievable. There are several points AJ took bumps that I thought, okay, that's the end. He's done. We're finished here. And then he gets up and he keeps going. And, oh, my God. My God.
It's amazing how safe of a worker AJ is because he's never been hurt. I can't remember a time. And, Jay, you can tell me if in WWE if he's been hurt. But from what my knowledge, he never gets hurt.
I don't think so. He certainly has been banged up. You know that he's probably been hurt, but he's not been injured.
Yeah,
I mean he was thrown off a roof by the Undertaker. I mean that's pretty devastating, and you know he was back the next day. So.
Sabonite is saying this is a top three Asylum match. Can you believe like that? I don't doubt it. This is a phenomenal fucking match. On top of which, what happens? What the main event? I think is a great match too. So like, this is a tough. This is a really good episode, man.
It's a really good show. Yeah, even the gauntlet was fun.
The gauntlet was fun. I didn't spend enough time on it. The gauntlet was very well paced. It was just action.
It was fast. Yeah,
just a lot of action, man. But I mean, these two wrestled all around the circuit for years prior to TNA, so they have experience of that, that chemistry flowed over. And then they carry it. I mean, for years, they carry this.
Well, this is like 4 weeks in a row now that they've had a match, and like a match with some intense stipulation.
And it's just escalating each time. Yeah. Which is rare, because it's like, oh, well, they're not going to top this. Oh, that was pretty damn good. Oh, they're not going to top that. Oh, well, next week they're doing a ladder match. A what? Okay, raise the bar.
I love that. That's great writing to me, though. You know, to me, that's awesome writing, that you're going to progress that story of like, we're going to keep putting this guy through trials, you know, higher and higher stakes.
And I think it really means, too, that you trust both of these guys to be able to go out every single week against each other and tell a new story, or, you know, tell it in a different way so it's still exciting to watch. Because they haven't put out a boring one yet.
None of
these have been matches that you can, you know, this is when you get up and go to the concession or something like that. You do not miss these ones.
No. And I tell you, they carry this on. I mean, into Orlando and everything, that carries. They never have a bad match. Abyss, again, very underrated as a wrestler. He's a hardcore guy and big monster. But, man, the guy's got psychology up the ass. Like, he knows exactly where to be and what to do, because he really pulls off an amazing match here with AJ. Sabanite, here's some firsthand feedback for those who don't know. First, Sabanite was in the arena for all these. The bump Styles takes onto the ladder for the finish is the most brutal wrestling bump I've ever seen live. The whole crowd thought he was dead. Yeah, me too. I thought he was I thought he was gone. I'm like, that's it. He's fucking dead. Like, they killed this kid. Alan Jones is dead. That's it. That's the AJ, by the way, Truck. You know, it's your trivia for today. I talked to you about Mike Bennett.
Stop lifting the curtain. You know, it's just, I can't even watch anymore.
You mean I've ruined AJ that much for you by telling you it's Alan Jones? Here's another thing that's going to blow your mind. All of his kids.
I'm not listening anymore. I'm protected. You cannot ruin wrestling anymore.
I'm done. I'm done. What do you say?
Truck's like, la, 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 la.
Good stuff, though. A great match. If you haven't seen it, watch any of their matches. They're just winners, man. Like, these guys just got it. You know, they just know how to work with each other. Go ahead, Jay.
The best part of this feud going back and forth after several weeks is they dropped the tag thing after 2 weeks. If they kept the tag title thing going, it'd have been ridiculous. It'd have been like, oh my God, they're still doing this tag thing. No, they threw that out the window.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we'll deal with this in like a month or something.
Yeah.
We'll let these guys just keep amping it up and amping it up and amping it up. And then it was perfect. Cause I was like, oh God, how long are they going to do this for the tag? Oh, they're not. Okay. I'm in.
It makes you wonder why they even did the tag thing with them anyway. You know, like, it's on the book.
Things off. Give them a reason.
Yeah, I guess it is a reason. You're right.
It's because there's a lot of smoke backstage. So when, you know, there's you know, things
the Rascals weren't there yet. The Rascals weren't there yet.
Just, yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going with that one either.
I don't think they're born yet at this point.
2004? Oh, my God.
No, see, the smoke was actually better back then from what I'm hearing.
Oh. This is why Jay can't remember anything that happened in March 17, 2004. This is why he's always so confused about what's going on.
I had one really bad summer with it in the 90s, and it messed my brain up for life.
That's it? That's the J-Bone we got today?
That's it.
Because that one summer in the 90s, that's what happened to you?
Yep.
This is it?
Jesus. Jiminy Christmas.
That guy.
Is that actually his yearbook photo? I've never got to ask.
It is, right, Jay?
It is. That is junior year Bone. Junior Bone.
Wow. What year is it? 89? Young man.
Or is it that wait? Man. Is it wait? Is it sophomore?
Is it 89, Jay? What year?
It's sophomore or junior. Yeah, it's either 89 or 90. One of the two. Yeah.
One more look for the people in the back.
Jiminy Christmas.
Screenshot. It'll last longer.
The the hair was coming in nicely.
Yeah, look at this hair. I mean, I got one more Jiminy Christmas. Look at the hair.
Jiminy Christmas.
However, around the same time, I'm one to talk.
That's not real. That's fake.
This is not fake. I went through a
Zach Bond for creation. You can't fool me.
Look at this closer. Look at
Disco Fever. Disco Fever.
Look at that. You see this shit? This is who I am.
Stuckus, this is back when, you know, Trent was just, you know, he didn't do, you know, unsober type things, but he stuck his, you know, doing the early band stuff, he'd accidentally stick his finger in the socket.
Sure. Let's go with that, Jay. Let's go with that one.
I trade.
So great, great match. Now, Abyss wins by a Raven distraction of AJ. That's where that spot happens. Abyss pulls down the contract, and he's yelling as he and off camera, "Do I have your attention now, Russo? Do I have your attention?" I like that it's off camera. It makes it feel more real.
Yes. You
know, Russo's out. He's pissed off. Raven's a champ. I think we get a little bit. We go back to Tanae and West for a little. Well, we get the video package at this point. We cut right back to Raven and AJ arguing outside about Raven costing
AJ is completely fine. Like, he should be dead.
He should be dead. He should
be dead, but he's, I feel good, man.
Totally healthy. Totally healthy, but just, and pissed the fuck off at Raven. Yeah. So this is kind of good because you can take Raven into a few different directions while you do title stuff over here because he didn't earn
it. He's messing with a bunch of people on this episode.
So set him up for some feuds here because he didn't really technically earn a title shot, so he's not going to get one, but keep him busy with all these people he screwed tonight, you know? So we'll see where that goes with Raven. I'm interested. I do like what Raven's going on. I just want to see it done right.
You can keep AJ with Raven now for a month. I'm good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they might. I think that's where we're going here. So, all right. Now, the meat on the bone. Huh, J-Bone? The meat on the bone here. Not that meat. The title match, the main event, NWA World title. Evening. This is it. Jeff Jarrett defending the title against Chris Harris. My notes literally say this. Chris's mother, sister, and brother are ringside. How the fuck does he not win this?
That is such a dick thing to do. That is such a dick thing to do. Yeah.
You tell mom to come out from Louisville for this.
Yeah,
and she's like, "What did I? Why did I drive 4 hours for this?"
Yeah,
you lost.
Like, even without talking to or having that interview with Harris, you would have to think just watching that they had been told, you know, this is happening. You should show up. Please come. And plans must have changed so last second because that is such a dick thing to do. Put them in the front row and watch. Yeah,
it really killed me because I knew what was happening, and I saw mom, sister, brother. I'm like, no, don't tell me you did this. Now, I heard a rumor. This is just a rumor. When Moose was set to beat Austin Aries at Slam 18, I want to say it was. Slam 18? Yes. And then they changed it last minute. He actually canceled his mother and brother being there. He told them not to come because of the result of that. So that was another. I mean, we found from Harris it was last minute. I mean, I'm talking like day of, which really fucking sucks because that's shitty. And they did this again with Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle at Bound for Glory 2011 as well. A day of change. Now, in retrospect, did it work out for Roode later on to turn heel and do it that way? Absolutely. Became Robert Roode. Great run. Great TNA champion run. However, when you have primed a fucking crowd to this degree, I'm talking like you have edged this crowd, man, and you just blue ball them on something like this, especially Chris Harris, who is like homegrown guy. They literally watched the kid grow over 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's two factors. It's number like what you just said. It's Chris Harris, homegrown talent. Over like Rover, and the guy that's pulling all the strings, one of the most controversial guys in the business, comes back. Oh, he's a babyface now? What the fuck? Oh, we're supposed to like him now? Yeah. I can guarantee you not everybody's liking him. But he's doing all these things, which seems a little sneaky and divisive, but it's still... You know, he's trying to go by the straight and narrow and do things. What is he? How does he say it? By the book.
By the book.
So, yeah, it's you got Chris Harris over like crazy, and you got Russo doing all these things to prep him which is probably really it's great when Chris Harris wins, but when he's thrown in all these situations, you're putting the crowds and the audience at home emotions on 11.
So, even me watching this today, knowing where it went, I was hook, line, and sinker on it. I was like, come on. Oh, yeah. Like, it got me.
Yeah.
And it got me because it's an incredible fucking match. Like, this, I absolutely think Chris Harris was amazing here. I mean, for a guy to break in, be a tag team guy, go back solo, and just nail it. Now, credit to Jarrett. You need a good, it takes two to tango. Jarrett's great psychology. He knows where to be. He knows how to make his guy look good. No question. I did love Jarrett arguing with Mama Wildcat at ringside, or not, like kind of mock taunting her. That was great. But the match is fantastic. I want to just spend a minute on this. Just a match as a standalone match from an action standpoint. Anybody in the chat too, if you guys watch it, I don't know. I have nothing bad to say from an action standpoint on this. And this is what I want to lead this to, though. Saban Knight's reaction. Jarrett kicking out of everything and no selling everything that had happened towards the end. Man, that was frustrating beyond belief. That's what I get pissed off at. Like, fucking Harris threw the kitchen sink at him, truck. Like, Storm literally.
Got in there, too. Gave him a super kicked out of that as well.
Everything.
Yeah,
everything with Jarrett did was great up until the sequences at the end where you completely cut this guy's balls off.
Yes,
and I'm like,
if viewers at home lost count, Jarrett kicked out of four finishers and a chair shot to the head. I've never seen that before.
And the super kick.
Goldberg went down to a taser. Jarrett wouldn't have sold the taser.
Fuck. And then Storm super kick. Storm comes in and super kicks him. Almost
kicks out of that too.
Kicks out of it, and Raven pulls the ref out on the one on the three, and Jeff Jarrett wins it with a guitar shot.
Yeah. Multiple ref bumps, multiple run-ins. You know, Jeff doing that stupid kick out thing where he just raises one arm. I hate that.
Fucking hate it. One, two.
Yeah, I can't believe anybody ever told him that's a good thing. That's a good idea. You should keep doing that. It looks so dumb, and it ruins for everybody. Because if this is enough to break a pin, why does anybody pop their hips to actually kick?
Right. Why kick out? It's so dumb.
Why are you kicking out? Yeah.
I always hate it. Their arm.
It's because of that heat.
And I know
it looks so weak.
It's pissing us off, and it's pissing us off 20 years later. We're
talking about it. Yeah.
I just was like, come on with this.
We're talking about it because it's obviously dumb. You know, it obviously doesn't work with the rules of the universe that you've told me about already.
Yeah.
Because if this is enough, why doesn't everybody do that?
Yeah. Now, I wrote down here, if you see that, when that three happens, there's a portion of Jarrett fans here, but it sucked the air out of the entire room.
Yes, it did.
It really, now I want to ask Saban Knight, did this kill the room at being there, and did this take away from the following week's draw? Because I have to imagine, if you came in for Harris and this didn't deliver, you're like, fuck this shit, I'm taking a break. But we have a comment here from Saban Knight again. I always use a laugh about how the heel section threw trash in the ring when Jarrett beat Raven, and then this happened and I understood it was the worst. Absolutely terrible shit. I just looked at the room was just dead. It was just like, what? You did what?
And it was such a lame, you know, bullshit, stereotypical Jarrett finish, too.
Like, I know.
There's nothing unique or interesting about it. It was just the same sort of... Remember how, like, in the end of the NWO days, it just got ridiculous that, you know, they're going to win. Don't even bother getting invested. There's going to be a run-in with, like, six guys who shouldn't even be in the ring. There's going to be a beatdown. They're going to win. It's getting to that point where there's no point in getting invested because, you know, he's going to pull out the guitar. He's going to hit the other guy with it. And that's going to be it. That's going to be the finish.
Here's my take. Jay, give me your thoughts on this too. Here's my take. You've sold me for 2 weeks on the story that Jerusalem started twisting that you're not ready, Chris. You're not ready yet. Now, that's to me, that sets up something like, you know what? He's going to make a mistake because he wasn't ready. Russo's like, I tried to pull you off this match. I want you to have more time. And he's like, no, I'm ready. The logical finish, if you were not going to put the title on him, should have been that his arrogance cost him the match. Slipped on a banana peel, and he lost because he was too arrogant about being ready. Because Russo kept saying, you're not ready, Chris. I want you to have more time. I want you to... But he loses with – there's no hint of that at all.
Yeah.
So question to the both of you, why even introduce that element in there? Why was that element even put into play? Why does that make any sense? Because you had your out with that element. That element was your out to say you weren't ready. And you made a fundamental mistake, and that's why you lost the veteran. That was your out to make it justifiable where the crowd could be like, fuck, he almost had him, god damn it. Yeah, the kid was just too young. But here it's like, no, you fucking threw everything at him. You should have had the belt. I guess
Jeff Jarrett. Well, Vince even says, in my opinion, you won that match.
Yeah, Russo says it at the end.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. It's like that, to me, is more of an insult to the whole situation.
That's even worse. Yeah, that's worse than saying, look, I was right. You weren't ready, and here's why. But this is what we're going to do now to get you ready. So but you've just told us that he was ready, and he just, you know, just didn't happen for him. So I don't know what you do with Harris after this point.
But here you go. Same night sets it right up. Listen to this. This killed the program from there on out. They start a storyline with multiple contenders, and the crowd just doesn't care as much. It took months before the crowd really cared about world title angles again until Hardy comes in, which we know Hardy does come in later on.
Yeah, that's around the time of right before TV, I believe.
Yep, and check this out. They hotshot the belt to Styles, which I know they gets another run. They hotshot the truth for his second. No one cares. Back to Jarrett, King of the Mountain. We all know it's coming. We all stop caring after this. Like, this is what happens. This is a perfect example. What comes after this, it's hotshotting uninvested angles. Chris Harris, people cared about. I fucking cared about it. I remember being so upset when that happened. And I'm like, first Raven, now this? Why do we bother investing in people you have us grow up with here at this company?
Yeah.
If you're not going to ever deliver on anything. And then to hotshot the Styles and Truth, like, what the hell? What? For what? You could have made a new guy here. And I don't know. And I think this was the perception that started with TNA. This is what started happening. Planet Jarrett, man. That's what happened. And that really fucking sucks. That really fucking sucks. Because I think Chris Harris's career trajectory could have been so different if they had this taken place.
Yeah, my only argument for not doing it is to, like, I suppose it depends on when James was going to be ready again, because now you got to get back into the swing of the tag team thing again. That would have been my only, like, okay, well, we're not doing this because, you know, like, big picture wise, like, obviously the crowd was behind him. I think he was ready, but big picture wise, it's like, all right, well, then what does James do?
Yeah. I mean, but you could, a good writer can find something. Find something then. You know, get creative. Yeah. That's your job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I always.
Harris was one of the first guys, like first TNA guys, right? Is that accurate?
He is. So
this would have been an opportunity for you to transition the belt from established guy to this is somebody new that we've built and you've bought into. Doing something new and exciting here.
What better perception to show your fans? Like, look at this. We build stars. We build a 6-week program, 7-week program, and look what you got. 7 weeks of TV led to this payoff for you. A guy you watch from episode one, and look where he is now. You'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Who's the next guy? I'd be wondering immediately, like, oh my God, maybe it'll be something with David Young. I don't know. Who's the next guy?
Like, it was around this time that I quit watching wrestling altogether. And that was one of the reasons why, that it's the same guys at the top of the card from really at this point, year to year. The finishes are usually the same.
Bullshit, you know, man.
Why would I get invested? What's the point? Could have been a really interesting opportunity for them to go, you know, let's go all in. We've built this guy. Obviously, the crowd is behind him. I can't imagine that place would have exploded if he had won. Just gone nuclear.
Now look at this. Now check this out. They do it. Yeah, I like this. Saving that was front row Bill before front row Bill. They do it anyway, though. They keep Harris in this weird mix for another 2 months until the King of the Mountain, and Storm's doing this his own thing. You try to make sense of it, but you can't because it doesn't make sense at all. It's true. They tease Harris solo for months later. It's not like he goes back to the AMW. It's a fucking mess.
Oh, wow.
Now, keep in mind, just for context, on the other channel at this time in 04, you just have WWE, right? I'm not kind of bringing him on at this point, but if in this example, WWE at this time, March, you're around the time, Jay, when they're about to put the belt on Benoit. Now, remember, this is Benoit 04, not 07. I'm not getting into all that.
No. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. You're putting the belt on Benoit. And do you remember the reaction to that? Because it was like, oh my God, you guys had this guy beat fucking Triple H, his underdog guy who nobody fucking took a chance on and did this. And he's the underdog, the homegrown-ish type of guy is now the champ. And it went over like wildfire, man, at the time.
That whole WrestleMania was freaking epic.
20, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, between Guerrero beating Angle. And then showing up at the end of the main event and that moment between Guerrero and Benoit, because they both came up in the industry together from how many years passed from Mexico to ECW to WCW to now, and they both finally made it to the top of the pinnacle of their stuff. And that is still, I mean, controversy aside, that is still one of my favorite moments as a wrestling fan in my entire life.
It's great. And that went over because of that homegrownish feel that the underdogs got the top spot.
Yes.
You're in March of 04. You're right here, same around the same time period, and you don't do it on your program to show that same good faith of like, hey, we do it over here too, and our guys are even newer and fresh guys that you just got to invest in locally at a local independent type level.
Yeah,
and they don't do it. To me, worst decision you could have made.
Really. That's a beautiful comparison there. Yeah,
yeah.
It does. As much as you don't want to, because of another brand you may or may not watch, it's true.
No, I was thinking for context, around the same time, I think it's like within weeks, you have the other guy doing it over there where their version of Jarrett is putting that guy over. You have to do it at some point, you know?
Well, still doing everything in his power to make himself look invincible.
Sure. Because
he stayed in the crossface for like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. He definitely milked it for all his own benefit, which fine. I was okay with Jarrett wanting to kick out of two finishes. Okay. But fuck it. On the third, God damn it. Would you just stay down? Like, fuck, man. Don't cut the guy's balls off completely here.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It was a terrible decision. I'll never be happy with it. I think it's still shitty to this day. You can even see Harris. I mean, obviously, it's years later, and he was still like, you know, it was just a bad decision, and he knows it. Russo says it was a bad decision.
I wonder what Jeff thinks.
I'd find a way to defend it, I'm sure. Who knows? I'd be curious if he covers it on his new podcast. I'd be dying to know if he covers it.
Well, what's interesting is, like, if you don't want to listen to the long-form ones, he splits a bunch of them up, and they put a bunch of clips up on YouTube, and they cover a ton of different topics. Even they just put a clip up recently about Rudy Charles, of all people. And we talk about Rudy a lot. So, yeah, go check out that YouTube channel.
It's interesting. Rudy fucking Charles. But anyway.
When I get sick of doing, completely sick of what I'm doing right now, and I want to take some time off, I'm probably going to, like, binge listen to, like, majority of those episodes, because they're – whether you like what happened during certain times of the company or not, hearing it from the man's voice is still in many ways fascinating, in my opinion.
Listen, he was there. I'm not going to take that away. I know I would love his voice, and I would love to hear Dixie at some point. I don't think she would, but I'm glad Jarrett's at least talking about it. We'll see how honest some of it gets when they get to the nitty-gritty of stuff. But anyway, that, guys, is episode number 86 of NWA TNA. Finished. But just a reminder again, next 2 weeks are off. 87 and what would be 87 and 88 will resume 2 weeks from today. So I'll be back in 2 weeks and we'll go ahead and pick up on 87. I told you, and the guys will find something to substitute in this time slot or around the time slot. Maybe earlier, but a more decent time slot to keep you guys busy until I come back. So definitely tune in. Stay tuned to the socials. I'll be letting you know what's going on. And we'll pick it back up in a couple weeks with 87. And, you know, watch on the Discord and all that stuff. So let's get wrapping up here. Truck, where can they follow you? What's going on? Where are you at?
You can find me on Twitter at @truck_rockbeck, but where you can mostly find me is on the TNI Discord. If you're not already a member there, I hope you'll check it out. It's a good community. We do a lot of watch-alongs that are open to everybody. It's not just for Patreons, so a lot of activity.
Yep, check out the Discord, guys. The link's in the bio, on description below, I should say. It's a great community that's been built, and Truck's been a huge part of that. So please jump in there. You can meet a lot of like-minded Impact fans. It's really, honestly, I think we've built a great community that it's a place to gather for Impact fans. So come on.
Yeah. In. And it's not just that great thing is it's not, oh, it's like, well, how many things are you really going to talk about Impact Wrestling? That's the thing. It's not all Impact Wrestling. Granted, that's like a great base for the Discord, but there's people that talk about WWE on the WWE channel. We talk about Ring of Honor stuff, some New Japan, AEW, and then, you know, other off wrestling topics like sports, miscellaneous. You can promote food. Your own stuff, food, pets, you name it.
We have a ton of rooms. What's that, Drek?
Bread.
There's a bread well, channel.
That might come.
craving a good sourdough truck. I'm telling you, man, you might have to ship me one of your homemade loaves. But J-Bo, where can they follow you, man?
It's got to be grilled sourdough.
That's what releases the sourdoughs. Go ahead, Jay.
Because then it's grilling in the grease of everything you're cooking. Anyways, you can find me over that other little podcast called Smash This Podcast, where we're smashing all things wrestling. Trent was supposed to be on tomorrow night.
I'm sorry.
He's stiffing me for it. Boy, it's not even a, it's not even a Cubs game.
Exactly.
It's not even. It's a White Sox game.
I'm a White Sox fan.
What side of town do you live on?
I live on the Cubs side of town. No, I live on the Cubs side of town.
Your building's gonna burn to the ground.
I haven't been to a game. Going with some of the guys. What the hell?
No, that's fine. When you get back in town from your Mexico excursion,
yeah,
we'll figure something out. I'll get you on some AEW episodes.
Yes, actually, not two. I was gonna say 2 weeks from today. No, 3 weeks from today. I'll miss the next two episodes. Sorry. So next 2 weeks I'll be out on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So I'll be back in 3 weeks from today. I'm sorry about that. But yeah. Jay, I'll make it up to you that week. I'll come home straight from Mexico that Wednesday, and I'll be right on with you that night. Okay.
Can't wait to get that lucha mask.
I'll be completely useless, but what the hell?
You know Brian Cage. He's there. You know Penta.
Fucking Brian Cage. Man, that's another little topic to talk about on your Wednesday show, J-Bone. Well, Brian Cage thing. But guys, you can follow me at Transberry over on Twitter. Also, this show at We Talk Impact, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon. At the top of the show, we went ahead and ran off all the Patreon tiers. Give it a shot, guys. Take a look at the Patreon. It's worth a look. Bonus shows if you like what we do. You get a bunch of free stuff on the channel here, but a lot of cool stuff from the bonus Patreon. So patreon.com/WeTalkImpact. And also Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at We Talk Impact. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Check us out there. All audio platforms, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon. Please rate, review, subscribe, guys, to all those if you're listening on the audio. Big shout out to all the international listeners on Apple. A lot of international listeners on Apple. We charted again in Uganda and Saudi Arabia. They love us over there, man.
Wow.
So on the top sports charts in Uganda and Saudi Arabia. So we appreciate you guys out there listening to this and all the other shows. Show schedules, guys, Time Machine Tuesday, every Tuesday here, except the next two. It's NWA TNA Throwbacks, as you know. Wednesday is TNI UK. Bison Joe and Steve do a quick breakdown of the week prior, the news and the events, and then they preview it this coming upcoming Impact and Access TV and BTI. This week, I believe they're going to talk about the Wrestle Carnival show in the UK that Bison attended. So they're going to mention that a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a guest on too.
Yes, they're trying to get a guest nailed down. I think they got her nailed down for it. So I think they have a guest on. I don't know offhand.
Someone local, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Somewhere out in the UK. So they're going to have a guest tomorrow. So but
that's great exposure. It's, you know.
That's awesome. It's good for them. And then Thursday, the flagship show, watch along for BTI. Watch a reaction watch on that. No more co-stream. Twitch is dead in terms of Impact. But BTI and Impact Access TV reaction watch along. Then post show, full breakdown of the show. Possibly some guests. I think Mark's working on somebody. So maybe a guest. I'm not really sure what he's working on. Not really sure yet. Mark's up to something, man. He's in the treehouse. But that is the that's the show schedule. And then plus all pay-per-views, specials, you just find them right here on Total Nonstop Impact on Twitch and YouTube. Just type in twitch.tv/Total Nonstop Impact and youtube.com/Total Nonstop Impact. Anything else, guys?
Merch.
That's right. Yes. ProWrestlingTees.com/Total Nonstop Impact and Spreadshirt.com. I think you just search for Total Nonstop Impact. It'll come right up. Does that work, Jay?
The Spreadshirt shop is 15% off 14th through the 17th this week.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I'm going to Spreadshirt. I type in Total Nonstop Impact, and it doesn't come up, J-Bone. I'm going to look at into that.
Because you got to go to the store link.
I know. All right, I will make that. I will put that store link into our – we should buy the domain, man. That's what we got to do, make this easy on everybody, and put our link tree up there or something. But
It's got to get added to
– I will add it to the link tree so you guys can get it easily. Yeah. And then we'll tweet it out for you guys as well. But all right. That does it for us, everybody. Thank you very much for hanging with us, Blade. We appreciate that. Join TNI UK tomorrow. They'll be on and give them a shout. And then don't forget Thursday for the flagship show. Anything else, boys? Nothing?
That was fun.
All right. We're out of here. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thank you both. We will talk to you guys later. Everybody stay safe. Have a great rest of your week. And good night.